You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome in. It's another Thursday here on the Best in Paranormal Programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Guess what, folks? We got another old friend stopping by. We're going to have a good conversation today. I don't think we have to go on with the long preamble or the long biography, do we? We'll just say that it's been a little bit of a tumultuous time in paranormal television, and we'll just leave it at that. We have an old friend stopping by. We're going to talk a little bit today about the past, but more importantly, we're going to leave the past where it is. In the past, we're going to talk about the future and some of the good things and good fortune in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just bring her in right now and talk to her. Let's bring in the star of Portals to Hell, and more importantly, the star of Travel the Dead, which you can find right now on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Katrina Weidman. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am so happy to be talking to you.
I'm happy to be talking to you as well. Should we just get old business out of the way and then call
it
that?
Let's do it. Let's just get it.
Yeah, let's get it out of the way. So as I mentioned just a moment ago, it's a tumultuous time in paranormal television, not just for the TV program you were on, but many TV programs over at Warner Brothers Discovery. And let's call it what it is. It's budget cuts. A lot of people can say what they want to call it or call it what they want to call it, but it is what it is. And it's the fact that two companies have merged together. And with that, a lot of things have come off the books. There were superhero movies that were shelved for tax breaks and other things. Tell us, if you can, or summarize for us just really quickly, what happened when it came to Portals to Hell?
So, I don't think you hit it on the head. We're Warner Brothers Discovery went through a merger, and over 2,000 people lost their jobs. And Zaslav, who is now the head of everything, promised $3 billion in cost savings.
Whoa.
So, you know, to do that, you have to take a look at your slate. You have to take a look at your content. You have to take a look at the future that you want to build for your platform. And, you know, this is my third or fourth merger that I've been with since I've been in TV. And unfortunately, when a merger happens, not every show moves forward. And there's a variety of reasons for that. You know, I think in the case of Portals, it was really just about budget.
Yeah.
And that's all it was. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but my view on it, because I've been on several shows, and my view has always been, if we can get to a season three, I think that's successful because so many shows, it is number one, so hard to get a show off the ground to begin with. Number two, to get it past the first season is also something to celebrate. So I think the fact that Jack and I had three really successful seasons, it was a very successful show for Discovery. You know, I'm proud of that. I'm happy that we were able to do that and that we have such a strong fan base that loved what we were doing. So, you know, I don't look at it as anything. I don't look at it as a setback. I don't look at it as something to be. I think it's okay to be bummed. Like for me, I get bummed about that stuff, but I don't get sad about it.
Yeah.
Because it's something you accomplished and okay, now what's the next thing? Mm-hmm. And what can we make that's even better?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I always look at it more of an opportunity.
Although if I may, it's a little tough to say, what can we make that's better? Because that was pretty darn good. I mean,
it's a really great show, but yeah. I feel like every show I've been on, people are like, that's a great show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm really selective with things that I do. And I've turned down way more projects than I've said yes to.
Okay.
The amount of products that have come my way, I'm very, very blessed for. And like, as far as like, you know, I'm grateful for it, mm-hmm. but not every project fits what I think fits me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I only say yes to the things that I feel really, really passionate about.
Yeah. 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 I think to say that there was a lot of shock when that show, when Portals to Hell was one that didn't come back, that's an understatement. I mean, when you look at the lineup of what was there as far as Discovery Plus, when it comes to Travel Channel, you think, well, there are some obvious ones. I'm not going to name them. I'm not a beast, you people, when it comes to stuff like that. But you look at some and you go, okay, I can see that. But there are some shows you look at and you go, well, come on. There are people watching that show. There are people that love that show. Obviously, there are people that advertise on that show. Every time I turn around, I'm watching a commercial. You know, I mean, I'm just speaking from a fan's point of view.
Yeah.
But you look at it, and it's obvious that the show is making money. It's obvious mm-hmm. that people are watching the show. How can it be just a line item or on a ledger? How can this just be that? But when you put that figure out there that you just put out there, that is a staggering figure to try and make up. It really is.
Yeah. And it's public knowledge. If anybody's interested, you can go and Google it. It came out, I think, last spring, because that's when the merger officially happened. And, you know, and it's not just Warner Brothers Discovery. I think if anybody's into television, you can see it also with Disney. You know, they're talking about, I think, what was their, they have to save $5 billion.
Wow.
So they're looking at cutting 7,000 jobs.
Jeez.
So it's, you know, a lot of it is streaming took off, I think, way faster than people realize mm-hmm. it would. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much competition. And so now all these companies have to figure out, well, where do we fit in this new model?
Yep.
How do we make successful content? How do we reach our audience? And, you know, streaming is relatively new. So I think everybody is learning kind of as they go. And unfortunately, some of your shows get canceled during all of that. And it just, you know, it's a thing of it is what it is. And I can tell you, like, as a fan of shows that have gotten canceled, like, I'm still irrationally angry that Dark Shadows, the revival, was canceled in like 92. So I'm still really, really mad about that. So I can understand, like, as a fan of things that have been canceled, it sucks. But on the other side, when you look at the business side of it, it's like, yeah, well, what are they supposed to do if they have to save money? That's what companies do.
Yeah. You might have actually started to answer my next question. And that has to be with, you know, with the, because it seemed like Travel Channel Discovery Plus was the home of paranormal. That's where you went to get your paranormal shows. And here in my brilliant little mind, when I see one network giving up a genre, I think, well, how easy would it be for someone like Portals to Hell or even the guys from Destination Fear to pick up and just go over to Netflix or pick up and go to Paramount Plus or pick up and go to another network that seems to be spending money and branching out and trying new things. But you just brought it up very eloquently. And that is that in this game where everybody is getting in and everybody is spending money, there are things that are hitting and there are a lot of things that are missing.
Yeah.
And when you're missing, you're losing, and you're losing cash. Maybe you can speak to this, being from the inside there, Katrina. why are these networks not taking more of a chance on paranormal? Why is someone like Paramount Plus not gone out and got Portals to Hell or gone out and got Destination Fear, now Project Fear? Why do they not grab something that they see as a hot property on one network and say, hey, why don't you come over here and try it over here? We think our demographic is more, is going to take to you more than they did maybe even over on Discovery Plus.
In my experience, and I've been doing paranormal television for almost 16 years now. Mm-hmm. Historically, the market goes in waves. So there will be a hot pocket where all of a sudden all of these networks want a paranormal show, and then it'll kind of die down. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see it come back. It's like an ocean. It just comes back and forth. A lot of times what I've heard from producers and even network level execs is they know the genre works. They know there's an audience for it, but they don't necessarily know how to make it work for them. And, you know, if you think about a lot of the supernatural reality content that's out there, a lot of it has been, the show's formats have been very similar to what they were 20 years ago.
Very true.
And I think a lot of people who are producing this content or would want to buy it or commission it, look at that and they say, well, that's already been done. And you have to remember, too, these network execs, they've heard every pitch under the sun. Mm-hmm. So, I meet so many people who are like, it's never been done before. Nobody's ever done this. And I'm like, well, I guarantee you they've heard the pitch.
Yeah.
They've heard everything. Mm-hmm. So it really becomes about execution. And I just think the genre itself needs a bit of a shakeup, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people who work in the industry they get a little hesitant to do a shakeup because mm-hmm. they know what works. And it's like, well, that's successful. And especially when we have a landscape of what it is today, where there's so many people losing their jobs, so many mergers, so many budget cuts. Somebody's not going to want to take a chance on something that they don't know will work.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough time right now for, I think, just television in general, because we also have the writer's strike happening, yeah. Which also affects film. But, you know, there's a lot of things happening, and streaming, I think, really just, again, it happens so quickly. And I don't think, I guess maybe things weren't in place to be able to keep up with that, you know?
Boy, I have so many directions I want to go here. Yeah, you know, let's bring up the writer's strike. Because with this, I don't want to call it a crisis, but I'll call it a crisis right now. In streaming, in programming, in so many programming choices, and networks saying we just don't have the money right now. We're putting out so much money, and we feel like we're not getting it back. Now you have writers saying, you know what? You're taking our resource. Our resource is our creativity, and you're spreading it thin, and you're not paying us for the resource that you're asking of us. And there's more and more content being asked of them, and less being paid for that content. And I understand that you need to pay for that content, and it's not being paid for. You have a little bit of a problem here now, and that's this. And this is my biggest fear. And back me up on this if you feel that this is your same position here, Katrina. And that's this. During the strike, it could be a lengthy strike in that the studios think, well, you know what? We have plenty of back catalog of reruns, things we can show. We can wait you out. But there's also another thing out there that could keep the writers on ice for a while. And that is, there's a whole universe of things, and I'm not pointing the finger at you, my dear, mm-hmm. but there's a whole universe of original programmers on YouTube. There's original programmers out there that are trying to do their own thing with reality programming that are saying, look at me, I can produce my own stuff. I'm my own factory. I'm it. I'm an original programmer. Look at me. that takes that middleman out of there, that creator that can sit down and write scripts, that creator that's been trained. Is that eventually, and now, and then we have another threat out there too. We have a threat of chat, I don't want to say chat GPT, but we have AI out there that can be used now, and they're finding ways to use it to create things. So are the days of creative people, writers, composers, and you're a composer as well, so we're going to get around to this, is the day of having that creative person being squeezed out?
I fucking hope not, because what a bleak fucking world.
Yeah,
if that's the case. No, I personally don't think so, because I think what's happening is just, it's opportunities in some respects are expanding. So for example, a YouTube creator who becomes kind of a one-stop production house for themselves, that wouldn't have happened, you know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. They might not have had an outlet. Now they do. Will that replace a writer, a production company, a, you know, a whole staff? I mean, there might be a place for this one person, but that's never going to replace the whole industry of, you know, because I can tell you as somebody who produces their own content that everybody's job is so freaking important. Mm-hmm. Every single person on a set, whether that's scripted or reality or, you know, even podcasting or anything you do that requires a team, it is so important. And, you know, that's a part of I think that's part of the reason why you see so many people passionately standing behind the writer's strike right now, is because they realize how important these writers are.
Oh, yes.
And they're not they're not able to make a living. And they're, the amount of work that writers put in and what we get as consumers back, you know, they should be able to make a living. Mm-hmm. You know, it's horrible that they're not. So I don't think it'll ever replace artists. I just think there's an expansion.
The thing that, one of the things that first scared me, and I think, you know, I've made a bit of a joke of it over the years, and I make a joke out of it because it does truly scare me behind the scenes. It has for years, is the up and coming threat of AI. And there's a reason in an entertainment sense, it has threatened me for years in radio. I saw it come in and I saw it blow away jobs for jocks. There hasn't been, I mean, the workforce for a live jock was basically wiped out in the 90s. Our workforce was brought down from a full force to about a quarter when we decided we were just going to automate, that, you know, we could have one jock do the job from coast to coast. And then from automation there, I thought, you know what, it's not going to get any easier. They're going to figure out how to do this in other businesses. It's only a matter of time. And as we begin to build models, there's a story that came out this past week, and I kind of shirked and I shrugged my shoulders, and I got that feeling in my neck and head again. I felt everything tense as I saw AI can now pretty much do 80% of our jobs, all jobs.
Hmm.
And it should happen within the next couple of years, is what one scientist said. But they say that's a good thing.
Hmm.
But I don't see a society in which that is a good thing, where it can do 80% of our jobs.
I wouldn't mind it doing my chores.
Yeah, right. Right.
I'm okay with like a chore AI.
Right. It can do
like,
all
don't
my
take my job.
Right. It can do all my housework. You can do all that. But take away my career, no. But even now, as we're sitting here doing this podcast, I can go get software that will edit this podcast flawlessly.
Yeah.
And make it sound like, well, even though you have a wonderful microphone, by the way, we talked about it before the show.
Yeah.
You could call me on a phone line and there's AI podcasting equipment that will make it sound like you're in the next room with me.
Yeah.
Even
wild.
Though you're on a phone.
I think it's going to be one of those things of kind of like with all new shiny stuff that happens, that there's obviously going to be people who try to take advantage of it fully, to save money. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it'll work in some jobs and some areas until people get sick and fed up about it. And I think in regards to artists specifically and people in the creative fields, and I don't think AI will, I just don't think it can. I mean, maybe that's really naive of me to say that, but I just think for this reason though, creators need to create.
Yeah.
You know, artists need to art.
Right.
I think there's, isn't it for actors? You're always like, actors need to act. Like, they just need to act. You know, my mom's an actor and she's like on 24/7. So, yeah. I think there's such a human need for it that even if there's some setbacks, I think eventually there will be enough of a pushback where, I don't know, maybe it's part of union contracts, or, you know, maybe I also think consumers will get tired of it at some level at some point. So I hear what you're saying though. It's very scary. And we also know that people who want to make money are always looking to, you know, oh, can we cut here?
Mm-hmm.
What about there? Can we save money here?
Let me tell you, and that's exactly where I was going to bring this. I was going to bring it full scale right back around to paranormal programming. And that was this, the little birdie in my ear that told me this, told me that it was a network exec that was basically saying, well, we want to go back to reenactment programs and historical reenactment programs.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we want to reenact, we want to use AI with. We don't.
Oh, instead of actors.
Yeah, instead of actors. So
yeah.
we want to knock actors out and just use the AI instead.
See, but that's where I feel like a union is going to have to step in.
Yeah.
And be like, there's going to have to be some sort of agreement, because it's a multi-billion dollar industry, film and TV. And I can't imagine. I mean, look at what's happening right now with the writer's strike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're all like, screw you guys, pay us a living wage. So I can't imagine people in that industry would be cool.
No, you know,
it's going to come to a head at some point.
It should. Yeah. And it hopefully it shouldn't, it wouldn't, and it will. Because in the end, if we keep squeezing people out of their jobs, we're going to have a society that will collapse upon itself. No one's going to be working.
Nobody's going to have a job.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. People won't be able to feed themselves. Essentially is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's a scary outcome, you know.
It is. I think there definitely needs to be things in place now to start protecting the future.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, let's start talking about your future.
Okay.
Ms. Weidman, because it's it is a bright one as far as I can see.
I hope so.
There's a beautiful song out there you've put out there called Suffer Me, which I was in line for the very first day I signed up.
I got my pre
download put in there and got it the very first day. I enjoyed it thoroughly, I must say. I encourage people to download it, but that was their homework assignment before they listened to this show. Before we go to break, tell me a little bit about this song and tell me now you've always worked with bands in the past in your music career. What was the inspiration for going solo, and what was the inspiration behind the song?
Well, the inspiration for going solo is because my band broke up.
Oh, no.
I was just like, yeah.
Awkward.
So that's what happened there. But it was actually, I met, Barb Morrison, who produced Suffer Me, I met Barb, took Barb's mentorship program, because after my band split, I felt really, really stuck as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Barb's wife, and their wife had posted something about Barb being a producer and having a mentorship program. So I talked with them, meaning Barb. I talked to Barb, and I liked what they said about their program, and it just opened the floodgates for me. I was writing 1 to 2 songs a day for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the program, Barb was like, you know, I would love to produce something for you if you want to work together. And it was a no-brainer. You know, Barb's a platinum and gold producer.
Yeah.
So it just made a lot of sense. And Suffer Me, I wrote Suffer Me towards the end. I think the program might have been over. It was either over, it was like just ending. And it was a really late night, early morning session. I sometimes like to write at like 3 a.m. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there was something about it that just really struck me. And I just wrote it like that night. And I sent it to Barb, and Barb was like, this did something to me. Can we please record this song? And I said, hell yeah. So got into their studio a couple months later, and we made Suffer Me. And the song, I guess, itself is it's a pretty personal song, actually. But it's very much centered on, I guess, relationships and how, and the ways we choose to kind of self-destruct,
yeah,
whether that's through relationships or something else. For me personally, I think a lot of times it's been through relationships.
Yeah.
So very much about that journey.
You put a lot into your lyrics and in your music. Is there a lot of you in it, or do you choose to pull back and maybe put some conjecture in there from other pieces and places you've seen in your life?
I would say maybe like 60% is a patchwork.
Okay.
You know, of my experiences, other things from other people. But actually, once I started working with, actually, I would say the, when I started working with the band, it became really personal for me. And then especially working with Barb, it became personal. Because I think what's funny about Barb is they gave me, and I don't know why I needed somebody to say this to me, but I guess I did. But I, my first session with them, I was like, I'm so frustrated. I hate everything I'm writing. And I don't like this. And I don't like that. Blah, 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 blah. And they were like, Why are you trying to control it? Just like, let it be what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but that was what I needed to hear. And once I heard that, everything started coming out.
Hmm.
And I think probably the most personal songs I've written.
Were you surprised by what came out when you did that?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think there are some of the, personally, I think there are some of the best work I've done thus far in music. And, you know, again, I was working with a band before. So it's like, you know, you have those, that team to work on music and everything together. And I've always written songs since I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought they were the ones I've written all by myself. I never thought they were good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of surprised that, hey, you know, there's actually something here, like, yeah, you know, and I did that. And that was a very cool moment.
Can I ask you kind of a weird question, but I think you'll know where I'm going from one person to another who's written things. When you write something that's so deeply personal, are you afraid of personal repercussions from what you've written? In other words, you know, you've written something from the heart, you've put it out there in public. The public in general doesn't know what it's about, but maybe the person you've written about does. Are you afraid that you're going to get repercussions from that person?
I don't think I care anymore.
Oh, that's good. That's a good answer.
For the reason of, you know, I'm not putting anybody's names out there.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to disrupt anybody's lives. It's, mm-hmm, it's nothing like that, but it's, I've had experiences in my life that have shaped me, that have changed me,
mm-hmm,
things that have held me back, things that have propelled me forward. And I mean, this is, I got a lot to say, I think is what it comes down to. And, mm-hmm, I think I've held a lot of things in for a lot of years, and that gets very heavy. And I don't like that. It's taken me a very long time to realize that that's not healthy for me. And I don't know if it's healthy for anybody, but no, like, no, you know, just speaking personally, right, it was not healthy for me. And it's very much been, I don't even know how to put it into words, because I think it's just such a deeply personal experience of just it felt right, the things I was writing, mm-hmm. you know. But no, I'm not, you know, the funny thing is, and again, I'm not saying you should, like, I guess there's something to be said right now about calling people, I don't know, but it's more,
it's not done vindictively. I know that.
Right. Yes.
It's,
thank you.
It's coming from a place of truth. So, and so don't get it wrong the way I'm putting this. It's just,
yeah.
Are you afraid that maybe you put it out there? Because here's the hope of every artist. You put it out there and you hope that it resonates with an audience and that it becomes popular, you know, that an audience enjoys it. But then eventually, if it becomes popular, it may get back to the person it was about. Not that it was intended for. There was no ill will.
Yeah.
But maybe they take it wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And then you've got a small situation.
You got a situation, but isn't life made up of situations, my Lord?
That's true. That's true.
It is what it is, Timmy.
That's right. It is what it is. And then the other question, the second part of that question is this. When you write something down, and I have problems with this myself. Some people say, well, in order to emote and get it out and get those feelings out, well, write it out and you'll get it out. And then that's it. And that's that. I can never do that. I've never been able to do that. Because when I write something down on paper, to me, it's not permanent. It doesn't feel permanent.
Yeah.
The emotion's still inside. I don't know what I have to do. I don't know if I have to, I don't know, crash my car in a wall. Or, I don't know.
Drink. That sounds like a terrible idea.
I know it does, doesn't it?
That's not a good process.
Drink it away or, you know, I don't know. I don't know, whatever I got to do. No, I don't know. That's horrible. But I don't have very good processes for getting rid of emotions, yeah. as you can tell. But when you write these songs that have to do with emotions, if you have to get up and sing them over and over and over again, does that bring that emotion right back up again? Or is it like a mantra where if you say it over and over and over again, the emotion's no longer there? Does it wash away?
I think for me, the emotion stays because I don't know. For me, it just does. And I think... I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. You know, I think a lot of times my music is, again, it's cathartic, and it's the songs I've written lately are really personal. And I think that's okay.
Okay.
You know, I think it's okay to feel something when you sing songs that you wrote about personal situations. It's actually funny. Gwen Stefani and No Doubt Tony Knal, you know, their song Don't Speak is about their breakup.
Yeah.
And they've both spoken about how hard it was to perform that song so many times because, I mean, it was one of their number one songs and it's about them ending their 7-year relationship. And I mean, we could even go and talk about Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
And, yeah. you know, I think it's what's funny about music is, I mean, we've all been through different things, but there's a theme running through the stuff we've been through. Like you and I can have a conversation, and although our situations might look different, there's a theme that you and I can connect on.
Sure. Yep.
And for me, when I like the musicians I love, the musicians I listen to, there's something that they're singing about, that they're writing about, that I'm like, I understand that on a level.
Mm-hmm.
It hits me on a deeper level.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to live in that song for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, I kind of think music is supposed to be personal.
Oh, sure.
You know,
sure.
I mean, there's certainly a place for ones that aren't and for ones that are fun and, you know, whatever, but... Mm-hmm. I definitely, as a listener, I definitely connect to very personal stuff.
And some of the best stuff out there is some of the deepest, it cuts the deepest into any artist that's performing it.
Yeah.
But it's, to me, I I guess I'm not the kind of masochist that could get up there and keep cutting myself over and over and over again in front of a crowd. I just couldn't do it. I think my mental health would just suffer.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think for me, it's a little bit of the opposite where it feels healing.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
Like it's on some level, it's like, okay, I know this experience happened and it sucked or it was awesome. But it, specifically thinking about the ones that sucked, you know, it's one of those things of it's, again, I go back to my little mantra I've had since the murder farm of it is what it is.
It is what it is. And that's the way it's going to be, I guess.
That's the way it is.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, we'll take a break right here. When we come back, I want to talk about travel the debt and keep going forward into the future and talk about a bright future as far as that goes. And we'll talk about other things that are coming up in your future. Katrina Weidman is our guest. We're talking about what's coming up in Katrina's future, including the paranormal and other things. Again, Suffer Me is the single, and it's out there right now. You can get it on Spotify. You can get it wherever you get your music. And by all means, go get that single right now if you haven't got it. Katrina, I got to ask you before we go to break, there's a single out there, but is there an album coming?
That is the plan. So the next single comes out at the end of May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I believe there is another single, possibly two singles after that. But they're all kind of part of the album. So they're like off the album.
Nice.
So, yeah. All right. There's a lot of music. I wrote a lot of songs.
Good.
They're coming.
It doesn't mean you had a whole hell of a lot of bad experiences, did it?
No, some of them are really good and happy. It's just the first album is very much about kind of the things that sucked.
Oh, no.
But it is what it is. Whatever.
It is what it is. Is that the name of the album, by the way? It is what it is?
It's not. But it's I don't know if I'm going to announce it yet, but it's kind of, it's in the same vein.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Well, maybe that's what we'll name the show. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I'm just kidding. When we come back, we'll talk more with Katrina Weidman about, it is what it is. We'll talk about it when we come back. Katrina Weidman is our guest right here on a Thursday on Darkness Radio.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Our guest is Katrina Weidman. Boy, I just hit puberty there, Katrina. I don't know if you heard that or not. Wow. Second puberty. It only happens when you hit middle age.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
It's a ride.
I appreciate that. I can't wait to regrow my beard all over again. We're talking about all things that are in the future here for Katrina. In case you missed it during the break, you can pick up Katrina's new single, Suffer Me, on all places where you can get your music online right now, including Spotify and other spots where you get your music. Let's talk about the program that you have out there right now with Heather Taddy, Travel the Dead, which I've been enjoying online. I yesterday watched the episode of Haunted Hoover House, which, boy, oh boy, you want to, you're talking about murder houses. have you been able to go buy a sickle or even see a sickle since you've been to the Hoover House?
Isn't that wild? Michelle's, did you see the reveal about Michelle's reading?
Yes. Yeah.
Like completely mind blown.
Yeah.
So I'll kind of give a little bit of a recap, but if you guys go to YouTube, my channel is at Katrina Weidman, and you look for the Haunted Hoover House episodes, there's three. You'll see we bring in Michelle Bellinger, who does a remote reading. So she's in Ohio. We're in Pennsylvania. We don't tell her anything. And it's kind of funny because I always forget to update Michelle on like what she got right. So she didn't even find out about this until a couple weeks ago when it aired.
Oh, wow.
And she was just like, holy shit. I'm like, I know. Like, it's wild. But she kept in her remote reading, she kept seeing like this dark figure with a hand sickle. Now, what she didn't know is that the people at Hoover House have captured a pretty significant photo of a shadow. And when they moved into the house at the time, it had only been like 3 months when we went there. They found this old antique hand sickle in their basement.
Yeah.
Out. And it just blows my mind because out of all the places I could be, which are normally like prisons and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The details that Michelle got. And out of all the objects she could have said she saw, what are the chances of what they found in their basement?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
A sickle of all things. Yeah. I mean, to me, I got chills watching it. I got to tell you. And it was such good work. You know,
the not that you guys would put shoddy work out there. I'm not saying that at all either. But no, it's such good work. And Travel the Dead, the thing I love about it is you and Taddy pick up, I mean, it seems right from, you have such a natural connection being such good friends and everything, but you pick up right from the Paranormal State days. But yet you've matured in such good ways too. It's just such a natural connection. It's, as investigators, you're very thorough. What I love though is that you, it's a very raw, very gritty feel. So it's almost like you're on an investigation with the two of you. You've added a couple of cast players as well. And you're in the moment of an investigation. You know, you're really just right there with you and you're interviewing the subjects. You're bouncing between that and doing the actual investigation. You're getting the idea of what it's like, the friendship between, you know, the three or four of you. You're on the call with whoever you're on the call with, if it's Michelle, you know, as far as a psychic or a guest goes at that particular time. There's not these quick jumps and edits, and it doesn't feel stylized per se, but it is produced nicely, you know? So you've got some production value there. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't come off rogue or too raw, but it's produced nicely. It just feels very nice. It's a nice production. The way to put it off is it's a very nice production, but I feel at home. And I really feel like I'm on a true investigation as opposed to a stylized packaged television production.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And that's what we were going for. So that makes me very happy to hear that, because I think when we were talking about this project, and it came about very naturally, it came out of the pandemic, really. So I had always wanted to build out my YouTube channel because I think it's such a great medium. I had a couple other concepts that I was going to do first, but Travel the Dead, I mean, the pandemic hit and I had oodles of time. And then apparently all these haunted locations were like, you can have it as long as you want. Come for a month. We don't care. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. So it started with, I was just going to go and self shoot and film myself. And then I remembered, I've been alone for many months at this point. I don't want to be alone anymore. So I called my best friend and I was just like, would you, like, all these places are emailing, do you want to go and like shoot some stuff? Just check it out. Like, I don't even care what we do. And she was like, fuck yeah. And then randomly we met Kat Croft, who Kat actually works for Paramount right now.
Oh, really?
And yeah. So all of us on the team work in television.
Nice.
And it's so funny because all of us were like, this is so much more fun though. Like, not that, but it's like a break from your job.
Right.
You know? Right. So we really had a blast doing it. And Kat at the time was living in Texas.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, can I come and film you guys? And we're like, but you live in Texas. And she's like, it's the pandemic. I need a break. We're like, got it. Yeah. So she came and she filmed us and we just had such a great time. And, you know, it's one of those things when you do this, you always get requests to go out and check out these places. And because television is such an intense and sometimes erratic schedule, it's really hard to be like, okay, during my time off, I'm going to go and do it again, like, you know, and travel somewhere. And you kind of just want to be home. At least I do. I kind of make a little cocoon and fall off the face of the earth. But, you know, all these places had contacted and were like, can you please come out? We would love for you to come and check this out and blah, blah, blah. And so, as you know, once we finished the first one, we're like, let's do some more. And it became what it is. Which we very much wanted it to be stripped down. We wanted it to be intimate. We wanted people to feel like they were there with us. We wanted it to also be a peek behind the curtain, you know? So I think you'll see more personal things coming up too.
Okay.
You know, kind of like this, the stress that it takes on me and Heather doing this stuff and everything, because it's stressful.
I love the who's going to sleep in the basement argument to me is everything. That's part of the charm of the episode, you know, is who's going to take the basement, and you just, you know, giving the lecture of, you know, of, you know, sleep where you're most afraid. I mean, that, yeah. You know, the old veteran saying, hey, you know what, sleep where you're most afraid, you know, is everything. And, you know, I'm not going to blow everything for people who want to check out the episode, but it's just, to me, it's kind of a chuckle, but at the same time you go, well, you know what, it's easy for you to say, you've been doing it for 16 years,
yeah.
But
yeah.
For someone who's, you know, deathly afraid and, you know, going, I don't really want to sleep up there, down there right now. You know, there's a man with a sickle down there,
yeah.
and you're going, well, it is what it is. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it's the scene is kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I love about the show is it's those moments that are, it's the odd comedy, but it's friends, and it's also, you're also right there with all of you. And it's really great. The addition of Kat, by the way, is also very good.
It's, yeah.
Because you,
yeah,
really,
Kat's very talented.
She's very talented. And it also gives you that freshness, because a lot of people who watch a lot of paranormal programming don't get the wide-eyed, bushy-tailed person who's in it really for the first time, and you know that, yeah, I think I'm gonna die experience, yeah, to it, and we all kind of forget what that's like as well.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: how long does it take you for to film an episode like the Haunted Hoover House, as opposed to when you're doing Portals to Hell, where you're on a strict shooting schedule? Are you a little more relaxed when you shoot Travel the Dead, or is it more regimented because it's your own dime?
No, it's pretty much relaxed. We know the things that we need to do, but we very much structure it as an investigation. And I would say the majority of the episodes I've been on for every show, especially Paranormal State, but you know, they're very much structured the way we would do it as an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you have the benefit of a production team there and a crew who can make it look really beautiful and just take care of the they take care of so much, like B-roll and making sure everybody's where they need to be, and tying up all the loose ends. And it just allows you to do your job as an investigator more effectively in a lot of ways. But this is very much relaxed. And I think Heather and I, we go a little old school with it, because, you know, we started in a college club together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it very much reverts back to that in a lot of ways. But it's also, there's like three or four of us doing this. And I go back to what I said earlier in the episode of everybody's job is so important on a set.
Yep.
It's so important. And, you know, so we're such a small crew that we're doing everything ourselves, and which is great in some ways, but in other ways you're like, damn, I really miss that crew.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of work.
What do you love most about being back in a small crew?
It's better for the supernatural side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm not a fan of having a lot of people in a house when you're investigating. I don't think it works. I think it's counterproductive for investigating.
Okay.
When I was on Paranormal State, we would Paranormal State, we had the biggest crew I've ever worked with.
Okay.
And we would kick them all out during, really? Investigation, except for obviously the camera operators.
Mm-hmm.
And the audio person had to be nearby.
Okay.
So sometimes they could hang out on the porch, but a lot of times they needed to be somewhere in the house. And like, you know, they're huddled in a corner so they don't disturb us. But they need to be within range for audio.
Okay.
And then the director, we would normally, they were normally in a car watching on their monitor.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's just the more people from an investigator side, the more people you have in a space, the more chance there is for false positives of experiences or quote unquote evidence. So I personally like to eliminate that as much as possible.
Okay.
But, you know, I I think our job, like, again, I'm not out to like prove or disprove. I think in the beginning of my career, it very much like, you know, you're kind of a little cocky because you've had your own experiences and you're like, I'm going to prove ghosts. But, you know, it's very much morphed into, my intention is not to prove or disprove. I do think there's something unexplainable. But it's more about documenting at this point. I'm more into and very passionate about the documentation of the stories and the history and people's experiences. And if we can get some sort of quote unquote evidence, that's the cherry on top.
There you go. What's the worst thing about being in a small group again?
The worst thing about being in a small crew is you don't have the support. Yeah. You know, it's everyone's job is very much needed. Everyone's job is very important. And even if, you know, when I was doing Paranormal State before the television show or when we did things without the network, we had a really large club. Mm-hmm. And so you have all that support, mm-hmm, of people to work on things and help with research and help with interviews. And so it's a lot of work. And, you know, some of these places, again, I'm not a historian. So it's like, these places that you go to, there's historians that dedicate their entire lives to researching that one place. Mm-hmm. You know, so we rely on people like that to tell us that side of things, to see if there's anything that can match up on the supernatural level. But just all to highlight, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And there's a lot of people you need to bring in to, I think, do justice telling the story about the place you're going to.
Would it be safe to say your biggest fear in one of these episodes is that you're going to miss something on the history side that's going to be, I would say, integral in the investigation?
Yeah, I think as far as doing television or any kind of aired investigation, my fear is, yeah, exactly what you said, missing things. But I always try to tell people, you know, what you see is a glimmer, mm-hmm, of what we do, because I've never had a case that I've been a part of that is closed.
Okay.
You know, there's always new information to be found. When it comes to history, you know, some things it just takes a long time to find, and some things are orally passed down, and you don't always have access to those people at the time of the investigation, or there's a newspaper article that just got digitized, you know, that wasn't digitized 15 years ago. So I think it's a lifelong process. So I think what you see in the moment is very much, this is the best information we have today.
Fair enough. When it comes to Travel the Dead, what is your hope with it? Is your hope with it to let it live on YouTube and that's as good as it's going to be for you? Do you hope to grow it past YouTube? Is it a passion project that you think you can grow outside of just a small group? Would you like it to get bigger? What is it that you hope to do with it?
Well, I think, you know, what's funny is, again, all of us work in television and we've all had the talk of like, because none of us make money off of this, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I think there's that somebody very early on when I started publishing Travel the Dead, somebody was like, I guess TV money isn't good enough for you. You're going for that YouTube money. I'm like literally making $20 a month. But thanks.
I don't think people get YouTube. I really don't. Yeah.
No. Yeah. So, you know, even though none of us are getting paid, we were all like, we still really love doing it. It's, mm-hmm, there's something that's very freeing about it.
Yeah.
There's something that just feels nice about it. It's that break from a job. We all enjoy working together. It's, you know, there's that part of it that it's like, it kind of doesn't matter because, mm-hmm, we're doing it because we love it.
Yeah.
We're doing it because we care.
Yeah.
And that part is you know, I don't know that anybody could come along and be like, here's a bunch of money that if for you to stop doing. It's like we all want to continue doing it, mm-hmm. Regardless of what happens. But I think as far as like the business side, you know, obviously it would be nice to have funding because we don't charge people. So we have, oh gosh, what is it? It's got to be like 60 locations at this point that have reached out since Travel the Debt has come out.
Wow.
And a lot of them, what's really important to me is so many of them have started with, we don't let anybody else come in, mm-hmm. but we appreciate how you guys are conducting yourselves. We trust you to come in. And that means so much to me. And I know it means so much to Heather and our team. And, but you know, we don't charge people to go and do these things.
Right. Yeah.
We just don't. And, so I think, you know, funding would be probably the number one priority, but I would love for it to live on YouTube because I think YouTube's so great. It's accessible to everybody. Well, you know, so.
And the reason I ask this question is not because I think you have some entrepreneurial spirit with it. The reason I ask the question is because as a musician, as you know, sometimes you have the big hit project, the one that you want to take all the way. You want to hit a home run with it. And then you have yeah. a little passion project on the side. Maybe it's a little super group, but it's this little garage band super group that you keep off to the side. It's your little passion project that maybe you're playing with your heroes. And maybe you just like to play small clubs. And it's this little secret you like to keep on the side. And maybe it's just like a few people know about it. And it's kind of a kitschy little thing. And you don't want the secret to get out to too many people. Or maybe you do. But it's kind of like a little clicky thing where, you know, it's kind of the fashionable thing. You know what I'm talking about? Where
everyone's like furries.
Exactly. like that. But everybody's talking about it. But, you know, nobody wants anybody else to know. That type of thing. And I'm wondering if that's kind of what you want Travel the Dead to be. Like that kind of cool little kid in the corner that everyone's talking about, but you know, it's just gonna live in the corner where everybody can kind of check it out, but it's, you know.
I don't know that I have any thoughts about that. It's Travel the Dead happens so I'm gonna use a producer word, organically.
Mm-hmm. That's a familiar
so
one.
Much in production. Yep. It's organic. But it really did happen organically. And I think I don't necessarily care how big it grows or how small it stays.
Okay.
I think it's a thing of we're just so happy to be doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
It feels nice. It feels good. And like it's nice to be able to go. So in television, some of the red tape you can come up against is you can't always go to certain locations.
Yeah.
Because, you know, their fees are too high or they were just on another show or the location you want to get into doesn't want to be on TV or they had a negative experience with somebody else or another network. And sometimes it's government owned properties and they can't be on a network television show. There's a whole slew of things that can stop you from getting into a location. Mm-hmm. And what's nice about Travel the Dead is that, again, all of these locations have reached out to us. They're inviting us. They want us to come. And again, some of them are like, we don't let anybody come. We want you guys here. And so it's just, you know, there's that part. I kind of lost my train of thought where I was going with it. But I think I was just saying it was nice. That is there.
Kind of, yeah. You kind of want to keep it where... I think the easy way to put this to bed is just to say it's going to go where it's going to go. It is what it is. Yeah,
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. I think we're just, all of us on the team are just so happy to be working together and to be doing this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the fans, I've been taken aback by how supportive people have been about it. Because it's a departure from... In the same lane, but it is a departure from, I think, what they're used to seeing.
Yeah, it is.
And I was really pleasantly surprised how nice people have been. And it's what I love is Heather and I, when the episodes air, we do live chats mm-hmm. on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And we have such a blast doing it. Like, we love talking to everybody as the episode is airing and, you know, they'll ask questions, we can answer them, or we'll banter back and forth about stuff, or we'll get into like conversations with people about different supernatural things. And you don't really have that with television, you know, because it air and everyone's watching it at different times. So it's when we do the premieres on YouTube, it's we really enjoy that and talking to the fans. And yeah, I think our bottom line is we would just it would be nice to be able to fund it properly.
Okay. Very cool.
You know, so we can pay our team.
Yes. Basically. And that's important. That's important. Yeah. That people get compensation for that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this of those, and you don't have to name them in particular, but of those locations that have reached out, are there a few in there that you haven't done before that are particularly intriguing that you're anxious to get out to?
Pretty much all of them, but like two.
Really?
Oh yeah. They've all been, we had an offer to go to Tasmania. To investigate a residential home. So there's been residential homes that have reached out to us. There's been a lot of locations that have never been on TV. There's been some that have been on TV like once and had like a terrible experience and will never do it again.
Oh my God.
Which is really unfortunate, yeah. You know? But yeah, we, and Heather and I, we have like a private group that we've always kind of kept on the side, mm-hmm. but it's very much saved for severe cases yeah. where, and again, our resources are limited and our time is limited. So it, we kept it for that reason to like, you know, if we can help somebody, we will, if they really need it. But what's nice about Travel the Dead, it's more open. It's not just about the most severe. It's about documenting these places. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we were really surprised how many people reached out to us about it. But we've always had these emails come through because this is very much what we do. Mm-hmm. It was just a pleasant surprise to see a good reaction to Travel the Dead from location owners.
I'm going to ask you a hypothetical here. You're going to think I'm nuts for asking you this.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up a name from the past.
Okay.
And ask you what her role would have been had she been alive today.
Oh, Lorraine?
Yes.
Okay. If she was on Travel the Dead?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely an advisor. Yeah. I think we would have called her as, she kind of would have been our Giles. Of like Buffy.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha.
You know, where we would go to her, we're like, Lorraine, what's going on? And she'd break out some book that she has from like the year 1300. And she'd be like, this is actually an ancient demon who was placed here by an old sorcerer who like, she would tell us all that. And then Heather and I would have to go fight the demon. That's how I see it.
That's how you see it. Oh, that's how it fits then. That's exactly. Because, yeah. You know, I was watching the Hoover House episode and I thought, you know, if times were different and if this were just made, you know, if everything would have worked perfectly, if the internet were older and Lorraine were younger and all that kind of were meshed together, how would Lorraine have fit in this series? And I just thought that. You know, Lorraine Warren would have been something special in this series. And I just wanted to know where you saw
it. It would have been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe she is there. We just don't know it yet.
Maybe. Do you ever feel like you ever feel like maybe there's a slight tickle there every once in a while and maybe she's around?
I don't know that I felt that with her. I have very special memories of her, but I don't know that I've felt her around me, but that would be, I hope, you know, at the end of the day, I hope she's proud of us, of the work we do. And, you know, certainly learned a lot about, or a lot from her, I should say. Mm-hmm. So I would just hope that she's proud that the next generation is, you know, I think it would be nice to know, or I hope she's happy that she understands how much of a role she played in opening these doors for people to explore this stuff without the stigma that it was attached to it years ago when she started. Right. And I know there's a lot of debate about Ed and Lorraine and everything, but I think that aside, you can't deny that Ed and Lorraine and Hans Holzer and a few others really did open the doorway
right.
for us to be able to enjoy this whether you're an enthusiast or a hobbyist or you want to do it professionally, there were a lot of people that opened those doors.
That's right. There always has to be trailblazers in order for there to be some sort of industry, whether it be a cottage industry or otherwise. So
yeah.
Whether you love them, hate them, or want to write stories about them, one or the other, or turn them into movies, or historical figures. It doesn't matter what your opinion is of them. They were the first. So
yeah,
you have to give respect either way.
Yeah.
So Katrina, as we begin to wrap up here, let's speculate, other than the album, which we know is coming out there, and it is what it is, I think is probably what the name of it's going to be. I'm just going to speculate right off the bat here. I know that's not the title of it, but you've got singles coming out here in May and in June. You've got, of course, new episodes probably coming up here of Travel the Dead, I assume, correct?
Yes. So, okay, let's start with, the music. The next single is called I Do, and that comes out May 26th. Let me double check that date. May 26th.
Okay.
And then the next single after that will come out like July, end of July. Oh. And I'll have info for that. With Travel the Dead, we are actually, Heather and I, we are doing a live segment of Travel the Dead, a live recap on May 17th. That's on my YouTube channel at 8 p.m. EST. So what she and I do after we air these locations, we'll do a live recap. And that's, because one of our pet peeves have been, once you see an episode of a show we've been on, you don't get an update.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you get, when you go and talk to fans or people online, they always want to know the updates. So we thought it would be cool to do that and have people ask questions in real time. Mm-hmm. So Heather and I will be talking about the Haunted Hoover House then. And we have a special guest, Michelle Bellinger, who's going to talk about her mind-blowing Jedi, like, psychic reading that she did, which blew her away, too. And then we're also bringing in Pam and Steve Barry, who are co-owners.
Oh, okay.
And so we'll talk to them about any updates of what's going on in the house since we've last visited. And that's on the 17th. And then new episodes will start May 31st of the next location, which is Selma Mansion, which has never been on television before.
Wow.
It's old historic mansion.
And folks, I got to tell you, go see there's a little bit of an extra there when it comes to Steve Barry. He has an amazing story too. I'm not going to spoil it, but you've got to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
That man is incredible.
Yeah, Steve's a cool cat.
Yeah, and just an incredible man who's had incredible experiences. So again, go to Katrina Weidman's YouTube page, at Katrina Weidman, all one word. So and catch up on Travel the Dead. It is something special. Anything else going on that we should know about?
Yes. So this year is my first year back at public events.
Okay.
So my very first one, if you guys are in New Jersey or you're close to Jersey, this Saturday, the 13th, I will be at Fieldsboro, New Jersey for a charity event for White Hill Mansion. It's a haunted historic mansion that they've been trying to preserve for years. It almost got demoed and was saved. Thankfully, it has a lot of history to it that's important to our country. So the volunteers there are they're just so dedicated to that place. And the event is to help raise money to further the preservation. So me and Heather will be there. Dave Giuliano, who owns the Ghost Hunter store, and he's been an investigator for like 40 years at this point, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys from Weird New Jersey will be there, and a bunch of other vendors and guests who will do talks. And there's some ghost hunts on Friday and Saturday night. And it's just $10.
Oh,
so $10 online or at the door. So you can just show up. You don't have to do it earlier. If you wake up that day and you're like, I want to do something weird today, we will be there. It's from 11 to 5 on Saturday the 13th. And then the other one that I'm so excited about, I would love to spend Halloween with everybody. And we can do that in Ireland this year. I teamed up with MysteriousAdventuresTours.com. And we are doing a haunted Ireland Halloween tour for 10 days. I am so excited. I have Irish blood in me, so I'm really excited to go and kind of see where my relatives are from. And we're going to a bunch of like the Halloween festival they have out there. We're seeing a bunch of castles. And I believe there are, you have to act fast because there are under 20 tickets now.
Wow.
And what's really great about this company, they offer an incredibly generous payment plan.
Really?
So, oh yeah, like very generous. So it's like over a period of, I think, I might be wrong about this, but I think it's like 12 months that you can pay.
Really?
For your trip. Yeah. It's okay. Like, it's incredible. So I will be there the whole tour. We get to hang out. We get to check out all these cool haunted places together. And it's Halloween in Ireland, the birthplace of Halloween. So,
well, what we'll do is we'll put up links for both events. So we'll put up the link for the event in New Jersey this weekend. We'll put up the link for Mysterious Adventures in Ireland at Halloween. Yeah, talk about so an excited. Event. Wow. Yeah. And you get to go with Katrina. You get to hang out with her. The Halloween festival in Ireland, that's got to be a great time, I'm telling you. So
yeah.
So we'll put up links to both events. You'll see it in the description of the show. So you'll be able to hang out with Katrina in both places. So there you go. Katrina, thank you so much for joining us again, my friend, here on the show.
Thank you.
It's been our pleasure. And
it's always so nice to talk to you, Timmy. I could talk to you forever, darling.
Oh, same here, darling. Same here. And again, hope to catch up with you somewhere on the convention circuit. If anybody ever books me, I know I've turned it sad on me and that's unfortunate. We'll catch up somewhere on the road somewhere. And, who knows, maybe I'll book myself to go to Ireland with you. I don't know.
There you go. It's going to be fucking fun.
I know. I'm telling you. Right?
Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. Ireland at Halloween. My gosh. Guys, you got to get in on it. Only 20 tickets left? That's it?
Less than 20.
Okay, so get on it right away. Again, the description of this program, trip of a lifetime. And if you can break it up over 12 payments, that's nothing. So there you go. There you go. The single Suffer Me is out there right now. You can get it on Spotify, wherever you get your music. Go check out Travel the Dead at Katrina Weidman on YouTube. Have a good weekend, folks. That about sums it up. Again, be sure to take care of yourself and each other. Do something for somebody this weekend. You might have a neighbor out there who needs help trimming grass or doing whatever. Maybe they're disabled. Do you have an elderly neighbor out there that maybe needs some help? Somebody out there needs some help this weekend. Maybe it's somebody homeless out there that maybe needs $5 or needs a meal, something like that. Be sure to go out there and leave it better than what you found it. Go out and help somebody this weekend. A little message from your buddies here at Darkness Radio. We got a great week of shows lined up for you next week. Be sure to tune in and continue supporting Darkness Radio. Be sure to subscribe. And if you like the show, leave us a 5-star review, would you? We'd appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everybody. And thank you for tuning in to the best in paranormal podcasting. This has been Darkness Radio.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin-star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.